Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the Church.
We encourage young people in the rising generation to see their own potential to build great spiritual strength.
Truly, my dear young friends, you are a chosen generation. I hope you will never forget it. I hope you will never take it for granted.
It is not by chance that you have been reserved to come to earth in this last dispensation of the fullness of times. Your birth has been foreordained in the eternities. You are youth of a noble birthright.
The following program on the Mormon Channel is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Thank you for joining us on For the Youth on the Mormon Channel. I'm Scott Robley, and today we'll be talking about prayer. If any of you have your license and are now driving, you may have had a similar experience. One day I was driving from Provo to Salt Lake City in Utah. While driving on I-15, road construction had caused two lanes to become one. Well in advance, the road crews had placed the proper cones and signs to warn the oncoming traffic that they would be merging. Most drivers, myself included, immediately merged into the designated lane. There were, however, many, we'll call them other drivers, that were trying to see how far up the road they could drive before they had to merge. I have to admit that I was one of the people becoming rather irritated with these other drivers. As I approached the point of necessary merging, the car in front of me was determined not to allow the other driver to merge. What I witnessed was an incredible battling of wills. One determined to merge, and the other determined to keep him from merging. There are a couple of obvious outcomes to this scenario. The first would be for a collision to occur, thus furthering the already lengthy delays. The second would be for the car ahead of me to pass the problem back to me. The third and eventual outcome called for a merging of wills. The car in front of me finally allowed the other driver to merge. The Bible Dictionary teaches, prayer is the act by which the will of the Father and the will of the child are brought into correspondence with each other. The object of prayer is not to change the will of God, but to secure for ourselves and for others blessings that God is already willing to grant, but that are made conditional on our asking for them. Like my I-15 experience, prayer becomes the merging of the will of the Father and His children. Growing up not a member of the church, prayer was not something I was taught in my home. As I was introduced to the church, I naturally had a few questions and concerns about prayer. I also quickly learned that I was not alone in my concerns. Many struggle with this powerful concept. To Heavenly Father, the perfect prayer is any prayer offered with sincerity by one of His children. With that wonderful message of hope, putting our minds and hearts at ease, we can explore some questions that may help to improve our prayers. As a new convert, my initial question was simply, how do we pray? I remember an experience I had early in my mission in Dallas, Texas. My companion and I came to the home of an elderly man who kindly let us in, and we shared a first discussion. Now, the best scenario would be to have the investigator say the closing prayer. As we invited this man to pray, we were surprised as he informed us that he had never in his life uttered a prayer. This was a man approaching the end of his life, and he had never had the privilege of communing with our Heavenly Father. The sadness of the situation was replaced with the excitement of the opportunity of teaching one of God's children how to pray. Using our flip chart, we taught him the proper procedures of prayer. We taught him to address Heavenly Father, to thank Him for the blessings he enjoys, then to ask Him for those righteous desires of his heart, and to close in the name of Jesus Christ. After our explanation, we again invited him to pray. With the flip chart as his guide, this man uttered the following prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask Thee, we thank Thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. He read the flip chart word for word. I guess that says something about our teaching ability. We commended him on his first prayer and invited him to pray again, only this time to actually thank Heavenly Father for the things he has enjoyed and to ask him for the things he needed. He willingly and anxiously said another prayer. This time his prayer went like this. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for things, we ask Thee for things, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. His prayer may have been incomplete, but it was sincere. We thanked him for his prayer and told him that next time he could be even more specific. My question as to how we pray was more than just what words do we use. I wanted a deeper answer, one that could only be found from searching the scriptures. The Savior taught in Matthew 7, verse 7, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Let us apply this scripture into our personal lives. Using this scripture, I could pray for a brand new Ford Mustang. The scripture says to ask, and I would receive. I asked. I didn't receive. Why didn't I receive? There must be something more to how we pray. Teaching his disciples the power of faith in Matthew 21, verse 22, Jesus instructed, "In all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Obviously, then, I didn't receive my Ford Mustang because I didn't have enough faith. I have had many experiences with prayer. I know that God hears and answers our prayers. This time I asked for a Ford Mustang, and I really believe, but I didn't receive. Why? Is there more to prayer than just asking and believing? After Christ's resurrection and during his visit to the American continent, he expanded our understanding of prayer as he taught, "And whatsoever you shall ask in faith in my name, which is right, believing that you shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you." That's 3 Nephi 18, verse 20. Whatever I pray for, in addition to my faith, must be right. I now petition Heavenly Father for a Ford Mustang with the promise that I will use it to bring less actives and non-members to church. Okay, I know that may be a stretch. However, what about the missionaries throughout the world who exercise great faith, work hard, demonstrate absolute obedience, and pray to take part in bringing even one soul into the waters of baptism, and don't have a baptism their entire mission? Can you think of anything more right than that? Why aren't their prayers answered? There must be something more. In a revelation given through the prophet Joseph Smith at Kirtland, Ohio, in section 88, verse 64, Jesus taught further, "Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, it shall be given unto you. That is expedient for you." Expedient means necessary. In order for my prayers to be realized, I must have faith, what I'm asking for must be right, and it must be necessary. The fact I don't drive a Ford Mustang must be the result of a lack of need on my part for my desired wish. If what I desire must also be a need, how do I know what is expedient? Is it a result of trial and error? If I get what I asked for, then it must have been expedient. If I don't, it wasn't. How do I know? Paul taught that we don't know what we should pray for, but the Spirit does in Romans 8, verse 26. Modern Revelation, Doctrine and Covenants, section 46, verse 30, teaches, "He that asketh in the Spirit, asketh according to the will of God, wherefore it is done even as he asketh." The answer to the question, how do we pray, is in the Spirit. When we pray in the Spirit, we pray according to the will of God, and we receive everything for which we pray. In other words, our will has merged with God's. Many of you are probably thinking, that sounds good, but that just really can't happen. Not only can it happen, it has happened. Nephi, the son of Helaman, had the incredible task of teaching the people during the opposition of corrupt judges inciting the people against him. Through divine inspiration, Nephi correctly announces the murder of the chief judge, and through the same inspiration identifies the murderer. While pondering what he had seen and being weighed down because of the people's wickedness, the Lord speaks to Nephi, and in his comforting words comes our illustration of a merging of wills. "Blessed art thou, Nephi, for those things which thou hast done. For I have beheld how thou hast with unweariness declared the word, which I have given unto thee, unto this people. And thou hast not feared them, and hast not sought thine own life, but hast sought my will, and to keep my commandments. And now, because thou hast done this with unweariness, behold, I will bless thee forever, and I will make thee mighty in word and in deed, in faith and in works, yea, even that all things shall be done unto thee according to thy word. for thou shalt not ask that which is contrary to my will. Helaman chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. Nephi had reached a point where whatever he prayed for, he would receive. Why? Nephi would not ask for anything that was not the will of God. His will and God's will had become one. Although I desire to arrive to the level of Nephi with my own prayers and even understand the possibility, for now I will continue to add at the end of my prayer, if it be thy will. As I have grown in the gospel, my question has evolved. Now, instead of wondering how to pray, I want to know how to make my prayers more meaningful. In the October 2008 General Conference, Elder David A. Bednar gave a talk entitled Pray Always. In this insightful talk, Elder Bednar gave three principles to help make our prayers more meaningful. Listen to Elder Bednar as he introduces the first principle by linking a pattern used by God and the Lord's admonition to pray always.
The patterns used by God in creating the earth are instructive in helping us understand how to make prayer meaningful. In the third chapter of the book of Moses, we learn that all things were created spiritually before they were naturally upon the earth. In a similar way, meaningful morning prayer is an important element in the spiritual creation of each day and precedes the temporal creation or the actual execution of the day. Just as the temporal creation was linked to and a continuation of the spiritual creation, so meaningful morning and evening prayers are linked to and are a continuation of each other. Please consider this example. There may be things in our character, in our behavior, or concerning our spiritual growth about which we need to counsel with Heavenly Father in morning prayer. After expressing appropriate thanks for blessings received, we plead for understanding, direction, and for help to do the things we cannot do in our own strength alone. For example, as we pray, we might reflect on those occasions when we have spoken harshly or inappropriately to those we love the most. Recognize that we know better than this, but we do not always act in accordance with what we know. Express remorse for our weaknesses and for not putting off the natural man more earnestly. Determine to pattern our life after the Savior more completely, and plead for greater strength to do and to become better. Such a prayer is a key part of the spiritual preparation for our day. Then during the course of the day, we keep a prayer in our heart for continued assistance and guidance. Even as Alma suggested, let all thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. We notice during this particular day that there are occasions where normally we would have a tendency to speak harshly, and we do not. Or we might be inclined to anger, but we are not. We discern heavenly help and strength and humbly recognize answers to our prayer. Even in that moment of recognition, we offer a silent prayer of gratitude. At the end of our day, we kneel again and report back to our Father. We review the events of the day and express heartfelt thanks for the blessings and the help we received. We repent, and with the assistance of the Spirit of the Lord, identify ways we can do and become better tomorrow. Thus, brothers and sisters, our evening prayer builds upon and is a continuation of our morning prayer. And our evening prayer also is a preparation for meaningful morning prayer. Morning and evening prayers, and all of the prayers in between, are not unrelated, discrete events. Rather, they are linked together each day and across days, weeks, months, and even years. This is in part how we fulfill the scriptural admonition to pray always. Such meaningful prayers are instrumental in obtaining the highest blessings God holds in store for His faithful children.
You're listening to For the Youth on the Mormon Channel. I'm Scott Robley, and today we're talking about prayer. I love how Elder Bednar masterfully connected our morning and evening prayers. Our morning prayers are like the spiritual creation of our day. We then think about our prayer throughout the day. Then, our evening prayers serve as a review of our actual day and a preparation for the next day's morning prayer. This creates a wonderful cycle of prayer and new insight to our efforts to pray always. The second principle given to help prayer become more meaningful is to express heartfelt gratitude. Listen to Elder Bednar as he shares an experience he and his wife had that taught them this important lesson.
During our service at Brigham Young University, Idaho, Sister Bednar and I frequently hosted general authorities in our home. Our family learned an important lesson about meaningful prayer as we knelt to pray one evening with a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Earlier in the day, Sister Bednar and I had been informed about the unexpected death of a dear friend, and our immediate desire was to pray for the surviving spouse and children. As I invited my wife to offer the prayer, the member of the 12, who was unaware of the tragedy, graciously suggested that in the prayer, Sister Bednar express only appreciation for blessings received and ask for nothing. His counsel was similar to Alma's instruction to the members of the ancient church to pray without ceasing and to give thanks in all things. Given the unexpected tragedy, requesting blessings for our friends initially seemed to us more urgent than expressing thanks. Sister Bednar responded in faith to the direction she received. She thanked Heavenly Father for meaningful and memorable experiences with this dear friend. She communicated sincere gratitude for the Holy Ghost as the Comforter and for the gifts of the Spirit that enable us to face adversity and to serve others. Most importantly, she expressed appreciation for the plan of salvation, for the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, for his resurrection, and for the ordinances and covenants of the restored gospel, which make it possible for families to be together forever. Our family learned from that experience a great lesson about the power of thankfulness in meaningful prayer. Because of and through that prayer, our family was blessed with inspiration about a number of issues that were pressing upon our minds and stirring in our hearts. We learned that our gratefulness for the plan of happiness and for the Savior's mission of salvation provided needed reassurance and strengthened our confidence that all would be well with our dear friends. We also received insights concerning the things about which we should pray and appropriately ask in faith. The most meaningful and spiritual prayers I have experienced contained many expressions of thanks and few, if any, requests. As I am blessed now to pray with apostles and prophets, I find among these modern-day leaders of the Savior's Church the same characteristic that describes Captain Moroni in the Book of Mormon. These are men whose hearts swell with thanksgiving to God for the many privileges and blessings which he bestows upon his people. Also, they do not multiply many words, for it is given unto them what they should pray, and they are filled with desire. The prayers of prophets are childlike in their simplicity and powerful because of their sincerity. As we strive to make our prayers more meaningful, we should remember that in nothing doth man offend God, or against none is his wrath kindled, save those who confess not his hand in all things and obey not his commandments. Brothers and sisters, let me recommend that periodically you and I offer a prayer in which we only give thanks and express gratitude. Ask for nothing. Simply let our souls rejoice and strive to communicate appreciation with all the energy of our hearts.
Have you ever followed that counsel? Have you ever offered a prayer and not asked for a single thing? Instead, all you did in your prayers is to offer heartfelt gratitude for the blessings you enjoy? I add my witness that prayer truly becomes more meaningful when we express our appreciation for a loving Heavenly Father and His bounteous blessings. The third principle taught by Elder Bednar is that our prayers become more meaningful as we pray for others with real intent and a sincere heart. Listen to Elder Bednar as he illustrates the Savior's example of praying for others.
Petitioning Heavenly Father for the blessings we desire in our personal lives is good and proper. However, praying earnestly for others, both those whom we love and those who despitefully use us, is also an important element of meaningful prayer. Just as expressing gratitude more often in our prayers enlarges the conduit for revelation, so praying for others with all of the energy of our souls increases our capacity to hear and to heed the voice of the Lord. We learn a vital lesson from the example of Lehi in the Book of Mormon. Lehi responded in faith to prophetic instruction and warnings concerning the destruction of Jerusalem. He then prayed unto the Lord with all his heart in behalf of his people. In answer to this fervent prayer, Lehi was blessed with a glorious vision of God and his son and of the impending destruction of Jerusalem. Consequently, Lehi rejoiced, and his whole heart was filled because of the things which the Lord had shown him. Now, please note that the vision came in response to a prayer for others and not as a result of a request for personal edification or guidance. The Savior is the perfect example of praying for others with real intent. In his great intercessory prayer, uttered on the night before his crucifixion, Jesus prayed for his apostles and all of the saints. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. During the Savior's ministry on the American continent, he directed the people to ponder his teachings and to pray for understanding. He healed the sick. He prayed for the people using language that could not be written. The impact of his prayer was profound. No one can conceive of the joy which filled our souls at the time we heard him pray for us unto the Father. Brothers and sisters, imagine what it might have been like to hear the Savior of the world praying for us. Do our spouses, children, and other family members likewise feel the power of our prayers offered unto the Father for their specific needs and desires? Do those we serve hear us pray for them with faith and sincerity? If those we love and serve have not heard and felt the influence of our earnest prayers in their behalf, then the time to repent is now. As we emulate the example of the Savior, our prayers truly will become more meaningful.
When was the last time your parents heard you pray for them? How about your brother or sister? I know I always appreciate when during our family prayer, one of my sons prays for me. I remember an experience I had while serving as the young men's president in our ward. I was on a high adventure with our priests. We were on the final day of a 3-day, 200-mile bike ride. I was struggling. I mean struggling, as we battled a headwind trying to complete our final 75 miles. Because of the difficulty of the previous 2 days, I honestly wasn't sure I was going to be able to complete the task. Each rotation of the pedals seemed more difficult than the last. With feelings of doubt and uncertainty, I heard a literal audible voice. I heard the words, "Please bless Daddy." Right then and there, I could picture my little family gathered together in prayer, praying for me. Prayer truly becomes more meaningful when we pray for others. If you're like me, my biggest concern was, does God really hear and answer prayers? Elder Richard G. Scott, in the October 1989 General Conference, shared principles concerning how God hears and answers prayers.
Communication with our Father in heaven is not a trivial matter. It is a sacred privilege. It is based upon unchanging principles. When we receive help from our Father in heaven, it is in response to faith, obedience, and the proper use of agency. It is a mistake to assume that every prayer we offer will be answered immediately. Some prayers require considerable effort on our part. True, sometimes impressions come when we have not specifically sought them. They generally concern something we need to know and are not otherwise able to find out. We are here on earth to gain experience we can obtain in no other way. We are given the opportunity to grow, to develop, to gain spiritual maturity. To do that, we must learn to apply truth. How we face challenges and resolve difficult problems is crucially important to our happiness. To better understand prayer, I have listened to the counsel of others, pondered the scriptures, and studied the lives of prophets and others. Yet what seems most helpful is seeing in my mind a child approaching trustingly a loving, kind, wise, understanding Father who wants us to succeed. Don't worry about clumsily expressed feelings. Just talk to your Father. He hears every prayer and answers it in His way. When we explain a problem and a proposed solution, sometimes He answers yes, sometimes no. Often He withholds an answer, not for lack of concern, but because He loves us perfectly. He wants us to apply truths He has given us. For us to grow, we need to trust our ability to make correct decisions. We need to do what we know is right. In time, He will answer. He will not fail us. He is our perfect Father. He loves us beyond our capacity to understand. He knows what is best for us. He sees the end from the beginning. He wants us to act to gain needed experience. When He answers yes, it is to give us confidence. When He answers no, it is to prevent error. When He withholds an answer, it is to have us grow through faith in Him, obedience to His commandments, and a willingness to act on truth. We are expected to assume accountability by acting on a decision that is consistent with His teachings without prior confirmation. We are not to sit passively waiting or to murmur because the Lord has not spoken. We are to act.
I'd like to take you back to my very first prayer and the circumstances surrounding that prayer. Growing up, my mother was very ill. Having hepatitis and nephritis in her youth, she was told she wouldn't live to be 21. She battled her sickness during her adolescent years and was even married at age 21. Because she couldn't have children, both my sister and I were adopted. My parents divorced when I was 8, and my mom remarried a year later. Life was great until I was about 15 years old. My mother was told that she would have a year to live if she didn't have a liver transplant. My mom's liver wasn't functioning properly, and her body retained a lot of water. One night, her condition caused incredibly painful cramps throughout her body. I awoke to the sound of my mother screaming, "I want to die." Needless to say, that wasn't the most comforting thing I could hear my mother scream. I had never said a prayer before. I didn't get down on my knees, and I didn't use proper prayer language. I simply said, "God, please take my mother's pain away." I then cried myself to sleep. Needing desperately a liver transplant, my mother flew to Dallas, Texas, where the top doctors in the world would be at her service. My mother was found eligible for a donor, and she began the waiting process. Finally, her pager went off, and she had a donor. The transplant was successful, but it wasn't long before complications arose. Her heart gave out, and then her body rejected the liver. They gave her 36 to 48 hours to live if another donor wasn't found immediately. My mother's body was so tired and her heart so weak that she passed away 2 days after Christmas of my 15th year. I was angry. I was angry with my mom for leaving, angry with myself for not being a better son, angry with the doctors for not performing at a higher level. But most of all, I was angry with God because he didn't answer my prayer. It wasn't until after I joined the church and was serving my mission in Dallas, Texas, the last place I had seen my mother, that the realization came to me. One day I had the opportunity of returning to the apartment complex where my family had been staying during the time of my mother's liver transplant. As I walked through the complex, I recalled my earlier feelings of anger and hatred. This time, however, those feelings were replaced with feelings of peace and gratitude. Suddenly I realized, for the first time, that Heavenly Father honored the prayer of a 15-year-old boy who asked, "God, please take my mother's pain away." She no longer felt any pain. My prayer was heard, and it was answered. I add my witness to that of many others before me, that God hears and answers every single prayer. He answers them in his own time frame, and many times the answer is no. We may not get the answer we desire, but we will always get the answer we need if we ask in faith, nothing wavering. I echo the words of Eliza M. Hickok, as quoted by Thomas S. Monson in the August 1995 Ensign. "I know not by what method rare, but this I know, God answers prayer. I know that he has given his word that tells me prayer is always heard and will be answered soon or late, and so I pray and calmly wait. I know not if the blessing sought will come just in the way I thought, but leave my prayers with him alone, whose ways are wiser than my own, assured that he will grant my quest or send some answer far more blessed." I know that we must pray in the Spirit. For our prayers to become more meaningful, we must link our morning and evening prayers, express gratitude, and pray for others. God hears and answers every prayer. I am grateful for the times in my life when my will and God's have been one. I pray that each of us will enjoy the blessings of prayer in our daily lives as we continually strive to merge our will with our Heavenly Father's through the wonderful gift of prayer. I'm Scott Robley, and you've been listening to For the Youth on the Mormon Channel. To download this episode or other episodes of For the Youth, visit our website at mormonchannel.org. Thanks for listening.
The following program on the Mormon Channel is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.